How many gives them thanks today? Amen. My, what a wonderful presence that is in this service today. Amen. I just feel encouraged in the Lord today. Amen. I appreciate His presence. And I'm always conflicted in services like this because you just feel like getting out the bottle of oil and anointing everybody. Amen. Because you want everybody to leave here made whole. Made whole. But I want to tell you this. This is also a practical walk. What do you mean by that, Brother Derek? You've got to live this. When we come in services just like this and God comes by, and you know, there's going to be times that God, I mean, just takes over the service, does a unique thing in a way that all of us just... But in a service like this, He comes by with His presence to encourage you that on Monday morning you walk and the touch that you received on Sunday. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, because how many knows the devil is a full-time worker at discouraging us? Brother Derek, have you ever been discouraged? Yes, sir. Have ever had to shake off the spirit of despondency? Yes, sir. You don't have to live there. God can give you complete victory. And once again, I appreciate the presence of the Lord. And as I would tell anybody that's here, if you need anything from us as a church, as a people, that you're going through things, we're here for you. We will do anything we can to help you overcome the battles of your life. That's what church is about. A church family. Not just, I mean, the services are good, but we are a church family as well. Amen. I appreciate His presence. Amen. Well, I don't think we could have any better Mother's Day than the Lord coming by and touching us. Amen. I think that'll make everybody in this room excited even here today. But Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, I will not be extremely lengthy this morning. I know as Mother's Day, there's sometimes many of you might have different things that you go do and spend time with your mother or whatever you do on this day. And for some, it's a little more simple. Either way is fine, but I just want to be respectful of that. And I just want God to help us here today. I know God's able to minister today in the service. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read from there. And trust God to help us. And I want to do my best to honor the mothers here today. And I want to honor all of our mothers. And see our responsibility as parents. If you are a mother here today. And this is not just for mothers. Because when I think of a relationship of a husband and a wife. It is a partnership where you work together. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As you notice there in verse 2, honor thy father and mother. Amen. As Mother's Day, this is a day that we do honor the mothers. And as I've already mentioned today, all of us have that in common. You have a mother. Now, I trust the relationship there has been well over the years, but nevertheless, you have one, and you should honor your mother. And I know sometimes there are some bad examples of motherhood in life, and it's not always easy to maybe honor those in such a way. I was reading a study recently about this, about parenthood. And first I'm going to talk to us a little bit about being a child or being a parent and being a mother and father, and then the sense of what it is to honor our mothers. But there was a study that was conducted several years ago covering a span of years by sociologists. And this study was done there at Harvard. And they identified after this study, and it was 90% accurate over several years here. They said these are the four essential factors to prevent delinquency. If you don't know what that is, delinquency means trouble in young people. In that sense, when you study that word, but just purely, this is how to prevent delinquency within the world. And this was not even a church study. This was a secular study. Number one was this, that the father disciplined the child fair, firm, and consistent. But number two on that list, it said the mother's supervision in the home, knowing where the children are all the time, knowing what they are doing, and being available to them. And I thought that was a very good, now this is a secular study, talking about preventing delinquency within the home and within a generation, but how important it was that second on that list, and we will not cover the others because we're dealing with motherhood this morning, but how important it is that the mother's supervision in the home, knowing where the children are all the time, knowing what they are doing, and I love this, and being available for them. Now, I don't know why it is, but I talk to my mom on a more frequent basis than I talk to my father. Now, I know that's different for everybody, but for some reason, if you were to go on my call list on my phone, I have a tendency, for some reason, to call my mom and ask her a question, or her to call me and ask me a question, because there's something about a mother and being available in a very special way. I've even noticed that in my own home with my children, that my children there, I guess my wife being at home a lot more than I am, that they often look for her, and my son is very biased towards my wife. Now, I will tell you that. When he has a boo-boo or something's gone wrong, and they say Chloe, you know, is more of a daddy's girl, but my son, he wants his mother. She can console him much like differently than I can. What is that? It's that availability of that mother to the children. I think that's so beautiful and wonderful. As we even look at the life of Jesus and see how Mary is mentioned several different times in his life as somebody that was available to Christ. Now, I want to give you the parental pattern in the Bible, because it is important here today that if you are a mother, and some of you are elder mothers in the church, and we do appreciate you, and we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit, but there is a parental pattern in the Bible that we cannot ignore if our children are going to be what they need to be. Your goal is this: if we as parents, being I am a parent as well, and I know many of you have children that are in this room, your goal is your children. You want your children to be obedient, and you want them to honor you throughout life. I want to tell you, that doesn't happen by accident. That is something that I am working for in my own children. I often find my daughter is 3 years old now, and my, it is a challenge at times. I'm trying to get my daughter, say yes, sir. And I'm saying, no, you're going to say, look me in the eye and say yes, sir. And every now and then, you know, yes, no, I said, look me in the eye and say it. What are you trying to do, Brother Derek? I'm trying to instill honor in her for me. Not that I'm anything special, but I am the mediator in her life at this moment between her and God. Now, we're looking at this responsibility of children in the Bible. How many in this room today is a child or have parents? If they're alive or not, that covers the whole broad spectrum of things. All right. What I'm trying to say is all of us also have that in common. You were and you are somebody's child, even if your parents are still alive or not. This is our responsibility. Obey your parents and honor them. Now you see, Brother Derek, you're 30 years old. Do you mean you obey your parents if they ask you to do something that's wrong? I didn't say that. No, we understand we obey God more than we obey man. But if my dad calls me and has a reasonable request for me and says, son, can you do this for me? If you're, you know, in the sense that if you're able to do it, it's a reasonable request. Do you think I should do it? Yes, I should. Now, I bet some people when they get older say, I don't care what my dad says. I don't, you know, he ain't going to do anything. No, I'm the kind of person that believes this. And it is a scriptural mandate that just because you move away from home doesn't mean you get to quit honoring your parents. You say, Brother Derek, what if my parents are not honorable? That doesn't mean you have to obey them in sinful things. Once again, you obey the Bible, number one. But understand this as well. You can still honor them and honor their name even if they're saved in church or have a good reputation or not. You can still honor them to the best of your ability. So our responsibility is to submit and to respect our parents. But children, once again, must be taught to do this. They must be disciplined to do this. They must be made to obey and made to respect, because it is not a natural thing that they are born with. They are born wanting to do their will. They're wanting to do their thing. They're wanting to do it when they want to do it. And that's why when it comes, I've quit asking my daughter to do read things like this. When I say, sweetie, pick that up, I'm not going to go over there and get on my hands and knees. Please, sweetie, will you pick this toy? I'm going to say, Chloe, go pick the toy up. Is that a command? Yes, it is. I'm your father. Go pick the toy up. Once again, it's a reasonable request. Now, I'd be foolish to go point at the giant tree out there. Go climb the tree. It makes no sense there. It's beyond reason then. It makes no sense. But us as parents, number one, we need to be reasonable in what we ask our children to do. It needs to be biblical as well. But then also we got to understand, we've got to instill respect in our children. We have to do it. You said, Brother Derek, do you have that perfected? No, I do not. Help me, Lord. Thank you. I went to preach at Brother Woods' church in January in Little Washington, North Carolina. Brother Woods is a phenomenal teacher on the family. I feel like his kids have always been, you know, just lined up and obeying. My daughter is acting like she's never ate before at a table. I take her there and I'm thinking to myself, mercy of heaven. They put a bowl of cheese down. She reaches over there and puts the cheese. I thought to myself, I had to take her out the room and correct her. Right there. I had to get up from the table. Why is that? Children have a tendency to forget. I wish I could push a button and it was done. I wish I would never have to spank my child again. I didn't say abuse. I said correct and spank them in a right way, in a corrective manner. I wish I would never have to correct that again. And just in case you have been somewhere that they tell you spankings and abuse, the devil's a liar, because the Bible tells us that you're to correct your children, and that's a scriptural mandate. Now, you don't need a PhD for that. You do if you don't do it. But you can correct your children. So I look here in the Bible, there is a parental pattern. I have to teach my children respect. Once again, I'm not up here acting like I've got this figured out. I'm up here working at this. There's times my daughter does something disrespectful, but what do I have to do? I have to continue to correct her and instill that in her mind. Now, when you have this improper or absent parental responsibility in our lives or our home, and we disregard this teaching as a biblical teaching, there becomes a missing element in their life, because there are four, I want you to get this today, and I'm moving forward here, there are four deficient areas in the life of every child. And I get this from the Bible, and I want you to, you don't have to turn here, but in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, this is what it says about Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is the Son of God, right? He is a perfect Son. Listen to what it says about Him. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. So four areas here that we see. Wisdom, stature, that means he has grown mentally and physically. Then it goes on to say in favor with God and man, that means he grew spiritually and socially. Children are mentally deficient naturally. I have to teach my daughter things. Don't touch the stove. Now, if one of you as an adult comes in my house and that stove is red hot and you touch it, I'm going to try to figure something out. Okay. But why do we put safeguards there for our children? Because they are mentally deficient. They have to be taught things in life. Jesus grew even in his mind. It said he grew the increasing in wisdom. Our children must be taught wisdom. Brothers and sisters, parents directly, and mothers even today, listen to me. Teach your children wisdom. Take time as a parent and spend time with your children. Don't let it be a deficiency in their life that they don't know basic wisdom of life. But take time. Sit down with them. Show them the ropes, the old saying is. Show them, father, show your son how to use a shovel. Show them how to do this. Show your daughter something. They are mentally deficient, and we have to train them all throughout our lives. I still call my daddy up. Dad, I'm trying to do this. And it makes me so mad sometimes because it's such an easy answer. And it's almost like it's so easy that you can't believe it. You're like, do what? Really? I'm to do this. I'm to go there and simply push this button. Yeah, that it should be there, son. And where at? You're on the phone with him. He said, you're looking at the steering wheel. Go down. Look this way. Take that panel off, and you're looking right at it. And you're like, you don't know if he's beside you or not. What is that? Because sometimes fathers, and I'm learning in my own life as I'm 30 years old now. I'm still a young man, but I know more now than I did at 20. And I can show somebody something. Men in the church, even if you are a father or have biological children of your own, take the wisdom that God has given you. And we as a covenant community, show the children something. Don't be one of those, and I'm not saying you are, but don't be men that think children, that they ought to be maybe less seen and less heard of. But no, I'm excited when I see children in the church. I realize this is opportunity for you and I to show them not only things physically, but guess what? They're also physically deficient as well. They have limited strength. I notice that about my daughter sometimes, the most simplest of things. Daddy, can you do this? And she has a new, she is terrified of insects. Honey, go inside. And if you know as well as I do, if you leave the porch light on, sometimes we go home from church and I don't know what it is, like a colony of insects that have decided to live by my front door. And I remember walking up, I remember one day I told Chloe, I said, Chloe, go inside. And she gets on that porch and she freezes up and flops and kicks. And I'm saying, what is going on? And there's even been times there's been one little ant that will really just set her in motion. But notice that. What is that? It's a physical deficiency there. She doesn't comprehend the dangers, what's right and wrong, and what's dangerous and not dangerous, and the urgency of that danger. What I'm trying to tell you is not only are they mentally deficient, they're physically deficient. It's my job to protect them. Now, I often say this, I have a lot of patience when somebody touches me, but don't touch my children in the sense of hurting them. I'm not talking about being kind to them. But what is it about a man when somebody touches his wife, or especially those little babies, something rises up within you, especially if it's unjust and somebody's trying to hurt them. I promise you this, and I feel this in my heart, I would die for my children. I would. I would die for my wife. If there's something that was hurting my daughter, I would not run the other way. But we do live in a selfish age of men that do not feel the same way. But men and mothers as well, we are to stand in the gap for our children because they're mentally deficient, physically deficient, but also they're socially deficient as well. Children are selfish. And I'm not saying that to hurt you. Say, my child's not selfish, and you're not telling the truth. They want, my daughter wants her toys. It's amazing. In our house, and we have toy purged. We actually have given it to places. We have gotten rid of more toys. I don't know how many toys my daughter has in her room or my son. I don't know. People give them things. Thank you. If you've given it to them, I'm not complaining. We'll take money instead. But it's amazing. My son Braxton will get one little animal, and my daughter has 100 of them. But she wants that one. Oh, Braxton ain't innocent. He'll see Chloe have something across the room, and he'll put his belly out as you've seen him walk, and he'll walk over there, and he wants what she has. What is that? It is a social deficiency. They've got to learn to share. Your children need to share. My children need to share. Have you perfected that? I'm trying. Show mercy upon me. I'm working at this. I'm a young father. If you see something, tell me about it. I'll do my best if it's reasonable to try to deal with some things. My daughter's got to learn she can't always get her way. My son's got to learn that. If you teach them they can get their way all the time, you're in trouble. Oh, it'll show up in their teenage years. Oh, yes. Oh, they got their way so long, and now, I can't do this, I can't go that. And you're just afraid as a parent. You got a spirit of cowardice upon you. You're afraid to tell them no because you're afraid what they're going to do and how they're going to react. But guess what? Come whatever, we've got to teach them to share. They've got to learn they're not always going to win. I remember one time we lived in an apartment complex in Edenton, North Carolina. And one day we had a neighbor who had a little girl. And she was a sweet little girl, as far as I could see. And one day, we learned something about that little girl. She went outside. She was outside there, and I remember I was outside. And that little girl was racing. I think it was her aunt or something. And if her aunt didn't let that little girl win every time, that girl would fall down, scream, and cry, and make the biggest fuss. And I said, you know what? You say that's it. She ought to let the little kid win. I understand that concept a little bit. But also, people have to understand, you don't always get blue ribbons in life. You're not always going to get a trophy on your shelf. There's going to be times that somebody's going to take something for you. And instead of looking at your child, and I've seen parents get right mad, so I ain't going back to church no more. Their son took my son's toy and all that stuff. You've got to get over that stuff. You know what? It doesn't hurt every now and then. If your daughter or son does get a little hurt and somebody takes something from them. I have already done this to Chloe. I said, well, Chloe, you got to learn to get over these things sometimes. You can't always have what you want. Somebody's going to take something somewhere. What do you got to do? Smile and keep living. She's young. I'm not trying to crush her spirit. I'm trying to fortify her spirit. I don't have this perfected once again. I'm a young father working at this. But mothers, hear me today. There's a mental deficiency, a physical deficiency, a social deficiency. Guess what? I can't leave the social one yet. If you want them to have a job in the future, they got to learn about authority. Never been taught authority in home. Then they get to the job and somebody tells them what to do and they are shell-shocked. They go home and have a nervous breakdown. I can't believe they made me do this. Your whole life is going to be answering to somebody. Unless you get to the top floor and then you're going to find out the top floor is not the top. You make a phone call, there's a taller building next door. And somebody's on that top floor. You've got to learn in life. You're not always going to be number one. You're not always going to get the trophy. So mothers, let's make sure we instill this in our children. You won't believe this. My mom used to tell me no in Walmart. And that's back when toys were $5. You don't always get what you want. All right. Fourthly here, we'll move forward. They are spiritually deficient. And this is where we really cry out because guess what? They are sinful by nature. Doesn't mean that they're evil creatures, but it's in the sense that one day, if they don't learn authority, they don't learn respect and honor, if they don't learn discipline, if they don't learn this, one day they've got to come to God personally. And the way that you can help them by coming to God personally, because guess what? You are the leader of the home. You have to mediate in their life the truth and the voice of God. Listen to verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right. Notice that, children, number one, obey your parents. It is your duty. If you're here this morning and you're young and you're a child, guess what your duty is? Obey your parents. Reasonable request. Doesn't mean that they ask you to take the trash out. Don't give you one reason to sass your mama or daddy. Come on. My dad would ask me to do things I didn't understand at the time. I remember one time he woke me up 6 in the morning on a Saturday. Who gave him the right? I remember one time he went to get me. I lived in what we call a frog, which is a finished room above garage. And how that all plays out in the English language, I don't know. But anyhow, the garage is underneath. And so my father would try to wake me up. And next thing you know, I hear something hitting the floor. And my dad's down there with a broom poking the floor. Get up, boy, come down here. He'd ask you to go out and pick up weeds out the horse pen. For what purpose? I don't know, but you had to do it. There was a reason for it. You have to respect and honor your parents. But I really can't stand when somebody dishonors their mama. You want to get somebody frustrated, talk about their mama. Amen. When I was in school, when I was a young boy, you crossed the line with a mama joke. You could come and talk about my daddy all you want. What'd you say about my mama? And you're saying, what'd you say? Say it. Don't say it no more about my mom. What is that? Because there's something about the affection a child should have for their mother. But a key word right here is this: children, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, okay, we're talking to the kids. We've laughed. Parents, are you in the Lord? Are you a biblical parent? Do you live the scriptures? Are you striving? I didn't ask if you were perfect and had everything. I had it all figured out right now. I ask you this. Are you in the Lord? If you want your children to come out right, you've got to be in the Lord. You want your children to honor you, obey you, and respect you? You've got to be in the Lord. For this is right. And God is always right. Now, once again, remember this. He's right. He's always right. What's right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, listen to me even further. And this is important right here. This is your biblical responsibility. Derek Jones, this applies to him very much so. Listen. Parents are the mediators. The child's relationship with God, get this. The child's relationship with God is mediated through the parents. That's how God has designed it. The child would eventually grow away from the parents and come in a direct relationship with Christ. But while the little child is small, the relationship to God comes through us. When a child obeys his parents, he is, for all intents and purposes, obeying God. When he disobeys his his parents. Once again, reasonable biblical things, common sense things, honoring things. When the parent, when a child disobeys his parents, he or she is disobeying God. Parents, when your children are able to understand this, you can sit them down and look them in the eyes and tell them with all scriptural authority, look, when I tell you to do something, son or daughter, I'm telling you, and when you disobey me, God does not like that. Amen. And if you're a teenager here today, you really need to understand the concept that disobedience, willful disobedience to your parents, and you're at the age of accountability, you are hurting your own self. God's chastisement will come down upon you in various different ways. So it is okay to sit your children down and to tell them that when you obey me, you're obeying God and obeying the means by which God is going to bless you. And you can tell them when they disobey you, it is the same thing. This is a tremendous biblical concept that parents that are serving the Lord and raising their children in a godly perspective are mediating between God and their children. They are being a good example. They are telling their children to obey this. Why obey this? And you can take them to the Bible and show them why they should obey it. And you say, it's my job to enforce this in your life. That has disappeared in our society. I could take you down Warwick Boulevard and take you to Teen Challenge, where I sit there 20 hours a week, looking in the eyes of children, some that would punch their grandparents, smack their mother, steal from them, and you all come down to it. We tried everything but the Bible. Well, I tried to take them to church. I didn't ask you. You can take your children to church, and that don't get the job done. If you don't enforce this at your home, if you don't live this like you should, you're going to have a menace to society if you're not careful. That's why it's so important. But understand this, I'm not going to be much longer. I'm trying to go forward here. Parents, how do you treat your parents? And how does your children witness you treat your parents? You go ahead and talk trash or say something about your mom and dad in front of your kids. And, well, they're older and they stand our business and they don't need to tell our grandkids what to do. You do that to them and no wonder they have no respect for you. You don't even respect your own parents. I'm learning something more and more as a father and as a parent. My daughter, I don't know who else to use an example, I'm sorry, but my daughter's 3. She has ears. I'm finding out she's listening. Brother, she's 3 years old. She's listening. I've got to be careful what I say. I'm not going to say bad stuff, but stuff that they shouldn't even know about. Too heavy for the child's mind. Situations that would degrade them or a grandparent in the eye of them where you're trying to deal with family situations. You've got to be careful about that. Why? Because children are listening. Let me ask you this. The way that you treat, if you have a living parent here today, the way that you treat your parents, is that the way you want your kids to treat you in the future? Don't you think about that? It's an important question to ask. Our text said today, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Isn't that a good promise? Wow, wonderful. So you're not only dealing with action here, but this verse talks about attitude towards your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days shall be long upon the earth, and the land in which we live. That word honor there, please do listen, that word honor there is a verb, and it means to value at a high price and to put value on them. You should value your parents. I'm at a unique season of my life where many of you probably look at me at 30 years old, and rightfully so, and say, Brother Derek, you're blessed to have both your parents alive. Don't take it for granted. Many of you would tell me that. And I do find myself a little more every now. I'm starting to realize this. I'm getting 30. I'm 30. I'm not getting there. I'm 30. I'm getting 31. That I'm finding myself picking up the phone and calling my dad a little more often. Because I realize this, he's getting older. He's getting older. Find myself regretting the way I was at a certain time, or maybe get a little frustrated with my parents because didn't understand something. I said, Lord, let me have more patience and help me to honor them in a better way. Many of you that parents are gone on, you would look at me and say, Brother Derek, don't take those opportunities for granted. And I would echo that response to everybody in this room with living parents. Don't take it for granted. Does that mean I always agree with everything my parents say or do? No, but I can honor them. I can honor them. I don't agree with the way my dad cooks a steak. He likes to burn them. Dad, I want that medium. You're looking at it. It's past medium. Dad, now. Oh, sonny. What are you going to do, Brother Derek? I'm going to eat the steak. With a lot of A1 salsa. What are you trying to say? I can honor him. I don't have to act silly. Now, there may come a time I pull the steak off, but I'm going to do it with respect. But I can honor him. We've got to move forward here. All right. Honor them. Value them. What is the promise here? And let's move forward. That it may be well with you, that you may live a long, that you may live long on the earth. Notice this. This gives us quality and quantity of life. If you respect your parents, it says here that you can live a good and full life. You can. What is this talking about, Brother Derek? Because you would say, or somebody may would say, Brother Derek, I knew of a good person that honored their parents that died young. Is it saying that? No, this is referring to a society. That a society will be, and people will enjoy the fullness of a society more with children that respect their parents and parents that also respect their children and don't interrogate them and don't, in the sense of promote them to evil. So there is a society here. This is a societal blessing that I can respect my parents. But not only that, it is an individual blessing as well. That doesn't mean I'm going to live to be 100. But I can tell you right now that honoring my parents, and I'm learning more, that I'm happier now than I ever have been before. Some of you here today, and even things that are beyond your control, knows what it's like for your family family to be dysfunctional. And you try to make it work, and it's difficult. But nevertheless, you could testify to the fact how blessed it is when everything is going smoothly. So today is Mother's Day. I don't want to drown this out. I don't want to just overstate all this stuff. I want to honor the women in this room. I do. If all the women that would in this church, would you come to the front of the church? If you've been here for a short amount of time or a long amount of time, but all the women that would, stand to our feet, everybody. Let's get the women to the front of the church here this morning. I want to honor them today. If you would just come forward. You don't have to have biological children to come forward. Just the sense that we want to honor you. We want to honor you today. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the mothers of this church. And we'll give them a moment to get up here. Amen. Amen. We appreciate these sisters. Once again, I'll read to you from this text. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise. Once again, I want to honor the women in this room today. That word honor means to put a high value on you. I know you should be told more often, and I will say as a husband, I don't say it enough to my wife, but you are valuable. You are precious. You are. Right here in this church, as I look across this room, we have a variety of ages. I look across and some of you are mothers with children that are grown. And every now and then you'll look at me and say, my kids are older than you, Brother Derek. And I know. Many of you told me that. I'm a young man. I know. But we honor you. I look at new mothers in the church. We look at Caitlin with Mason and Sister Shelley. Won't be much longer and they'll have got little Nicole and my wife. And even other mothers that are aspiring to be mothers, and Lord willing, this will all come to pass very soon. We have young mothers with toddlers. We have several future mothers. We have mothers with children that are grown. And we have several here that don't have children of their own, but nevertheless, they are mothers here in the church. And we appreciate that. I was thinking, and I had to ask my wife, because mothers in the church are very important. It really is. Women that I often say about Sister Neff, I said, man, she is just a mother to so many. I mean, she'd tell me, Brother Derek, you tie? And she'll get me straight every now and then. I said, well, thank you. And I appreciate it. I mean it, though. She just has these mothering instincts. But I was even thinking about mothers that have gone before. I've even had to confirm, it's our first Mother's Day without Sister Hilda here. Think about it. It's our first Mother's Day, and I was looking at my wife over here. I thought, you know, there's another mother of the church right now that her Mother's Day's in glory. What a blessed promise that is. But we appreciate the mothers of the church. We honor you and we value you. And I want to do my best as a pastor to put a higher value on what you do for us as a congregation. I mean, I know those first Sunday fellowship dinners. I know these men ain't doing too much cooking. I know we ain't. I know a lot of you that we have these cookouts and different things. And other than me, Eddie, and Brother Neff, and a few of us on the grill trying to be part-time grillers, that's about all we do. But you do so much. You do so much. And we appreciate you. So men of the church and those that are in the congregation, let's bless these mothers today. Let's pray for them. And in the Bible, it's very common to bless and ask God for a great abundance and blessing upon these that are fulfilling their obligations as mothers biologically and those that are mothers in the church. Let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father,